whether you want me to stay or go. Love me or leave me, let me be lonely. You won't believe me, and I love you only. I'd rather be lonely than happy with somebody else. You might find the nighttime the right time for kissing, but nighttime is my time for just reminiscing, regretting instead of forgetting with somebody else. I don't want to borrow, to have it today, to give back tomorrow. For my love is your love, there's no love for nobody else. Oh, love me or leave me, let me be lonely. You won't believe me, and I love you only. I'd rather be lonely than happy with somebody else. You might find the nighttime the right time for kissing, but nighttime is my time for just reminiscing, regretting instead of forgetting with somebody else.
She is considered the soldier sweetheart of World War II, and her radio request program brought comfort, great big band music, and a little bit of home to millions of soldiers stationed overseas. She's G.I. Jill, host of G.I. Jive. Tune in Mondays at 5 p.m. Pacific as Swing Street Radio brings you rare vintage recordings of G.I. Jive from our library of original radio transcriptions. Celebrity guest appearances, great swing and big band music, and a little bit of home. G.I. Jive with every soldier's sweetheart, G.I. Jill, Mondays at 5 p.m. Pacific on Swing Street Radio, where the big band swings.
Soon you're counting sheets, but before you count to five, seems you're right back digging at G.I. Jive.
From the city by the Golden Gate, this is KSSR DB San Francisco, Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing.
Smile again, radio. I miss you so.
again, it's time for Yesteryear. A look back at your favorite dramas, westerns, comedies, and musical variety shows from the golden age of radio. Here's your host for Yesteryear, Craig Roberts.
Time once again to settle into your favorite easy chair for another hour of vintage radio. Later on, we'll enjoy some hard case police action with Gangbusters and the case of the kidnapped paymaster. But first, on the lighter side, we'll head over to Wistful Vista and visit with Fibber McGee and Molly. Fibber McGee and Molly was the story of Jim and Marion Jordan. They began in radio in 1924 on WIBO as the O'Henry twins, but by 1927 they had carved out a niche for themselves in radio. So much so, the show went national in 1935 on NBC Blue as Fibber McGee and Molly for Johnson's Wax. Several supporting characters became so well known that they outgrew Wistful Vista, most notably Harold Perry, who created his Man of Great Pomp, Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve. The program dropped its weekly half-hour feature after the June 30th, 1953 show, returning in October as a five-day-a-week 15-minute program, which continued until 1957. Return with us now to those exciting days of yesteryear, Fibber McGee and Molly, packing for vacation from June of 1942. Another classic program from the radio vault of yesteryear.
Major Bowes, I miss the shadow nose, Fred Allen, Sally Folks, the laughter of Duffy's Tavern, Helen Trent, then we went to Can You Top This? Suspense in the Whistler sent those shivers up our spines. Uncle Don, I wish that he was on. Jack Armstrong, Merton Mar, Jamis, and Andy. I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you. Sodio, vodio, dodio, do. Radio, I miss you so.
Fibber McGee and Molly. The makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat present Fibber McGee and Molly, written by Don Quinn, with songs by the King's Band and music by Billy Mills Orchestra. Isn't it a wonderful feeling to get out the old suitcase preparatory to packing for a summer vacation? And isn't it an awful letdown when you can't find the keys that unlock the suitcase so you can pack it? Oh, you don't think so? Well, listen to Fibber McGee and Molly.
But McGee, darling, why, oh, why did you lock the suitcase when you put it away empty?
I don't know. Just seemed neater that way, I guess. Anyway, I can open it with a hairpin or something. Give me a hairpin.
I'm afraid to.
Huh? Why?
Well, my hair might come down, and if I ever let my hair down, I might tell you what I think of a man who locks an empty suitcase and then loses the key.
Well, gee, Willikers, I... Oh, I know where the key is. Ain't I the rummy?
Well, go get it then, dearie.
I can't.
Why not?
It's inside the suitcase.
Heavenly days. I thought that only happened in comic strips.
Well, comic strips are just exaggerations of what happens in real life.
Yeah? Well, I'm beginning to think our lives are exaggerations of what happens in comic strips. I got that one out. What are you going to do now? We need that suitcase.
I'll pick the lock. Locks on suitcases are very...
Come in.
Hello there, kids. Understand you're leaving on your vacation tomorrow.
Yes, we are.
First thing in the morning, it's up and away to the mountains.
I thought we were going to the sea show.
No, I decided.
You decided?
Yes, I...
Now,
No, don't argue, kids. Why don't you go spend a few weeks at my brother's dead ranch?
You mean Dude Ranch?
No, it's dead, daughter. That's why I'm trying to round up some customers for the kids. You'd love a ranch. You can ride or go out on horseback or go for a long gallop across the prairies or spend all day long in the saddle or take a brisk canter in the early morning air or...
Yeah, or go horseback riding.
Sure. Like my brother, too. Natural horseman.
Born Westerner?
No, born bow-legged. Just got a letter from him last last Saturday. We chipped in and bought Papa a jackknife for Father's Day.
Jackknife? Why didn't you get him a necktie?
Waste the money, Johnny. Papa's got a beard down to here.
Doesn't he ever wear a necktie?
He won't tell us if he does or not. Well, I'll leave this liquor tour here for you kids. I know you'd like ranch life. You can ride or go horseback.
Yes, yes, we know. You going out there yourself this summer, Mr. Oldtimer?
Might, daughter. Ain't had a vacation since, well, let me see. This is 1940.
This is 1942.
It is? What happened in 1941? Oh, I know. I went to see Gone with the Wind.
Now, listen, that wouldn't account for a whole year.
Well, I sat through it twice, Dory.
Gone with the Wind. That picture has played the Bijou Theater so often that the manager, Mr. Finkelstein, talks with a southern accent.
That's pretty good, Johnny, but that ain't the way I hear it. The way I hear it, I'll tell you in September. So long, kid.
Well, we won't be going to a ranch or any place else if I can't get this suitcase open. Bring me a glass of water, will you?
What for?
I'm going to pour it into the lock and then put the suitcase in the refrigerator. Water freezes, expands, and forces the lock open. That way we
couldn't
can...
Couldn't you ruin the suitcase just as easily if you chopped it open with a hatchet? Or maybe use dynamite?
Well, what would you do?
Well, I don't like to be obvious, dearie, but if you needed a tooth fixed, you'd call a dentist, wouldn't you?
Why, sure.
Well, who would you call if you wanted a lock fix?
A dentist?
A locksmith, really?
Oh, I never thought of that. Well, where's there a good locksmith?
There's one next to Kramer's drugstore. Luke Smith.
Give me the phone.
Here.
Thanks. Hello, operator. Give me Luke Smith, the locksmith, next door to Kramer's Mert. Is that you? How's every little thing, Mert? What's that, Mert? Left on your doorstep. With a rattle in one hand and a bottle in the other, eh? Why don't you adopt him, Mert? Oh, gee, I wish you would.
Stop it, McGee. What business is it of yours if they adopt a baby?
It wasn't a baby. It was Uncle Dennis. What's that, Mert? Well, never mind. I'll see you in September, Mert. Yeah. Goodbye.
Look, McGee, I have some extra keys upstairs. I'll go get them. And after this, when you lock an empty suitcase, don't do it.
I wonder if brute force will open it up on me. Nah. Dead rat, the dead rat. Come in.
Hi, mister.
Oh, hello there, little girl. You know anything about locks?
Sure I do, I betcha. We listen to it all the time.
Listen to what?
Locks. Locks Radio Theater. You know, my mama says that Cecil DeMille is one of the...
I didn't say Lux. I says locks. Like on this suitcase. You know how to get it open?
Let me take it, mister. Sure, I can get it open.
How?
Give me the key and I'll show you.
Doggone it, sis, I haven't got a key. That's just the trouble. The key's inside and we're leaving on our vacation tomorrow.
Oh. Where are you going on your vacation, mister? Where are you going? Where are you?
Oh, I don't know, sis. Most anywhere. The mountains, the woods, the desert, the seashore. As long as it's in the great outdoors.
We got one, too.
You got one what?
A great outdoors. My daddy cooks hamburgers on it.
Hey, that sounds pretty good. Why don't he ever invite me over for some hamburgers?
Well, you know, I asked him.
Huh?
I asked him that once, but he said you wouldn't enjoy it.
Why not?
He says you're so full of baloney all the time, you wouldn't have any appetite.
way to get that suitcase open yet. My goodness.
Look out, Molly. Stand back. Over this way.
What on earth are you...
Face the wall a minute. Now, hold it.
Ah, doggone it. Didn't work. My last firecracker, too.
Gee, what are you doing shooting firecrackers off in this house?
Trying to blast the lock open on the suitcase. Lock's either too strong or the firecrackers are too weak.
Heavenly days, it smells like the Battle of Bull Run in here. Open the window. Now, that's better. Now, what in the name of Shanghai Czech gave you the idea of using firecrackers?
You did. You mentioned something about dynamite a while ago, and I called up the hardware store, and they didn't have any dynamite.
Ever McGee, if you ever bring a drop of dynamite into this house, I...
Dynamite don't come in drops. Comes in sticks. It ain't dangerous if you handle it right. Why, I and my cousin Ellsworth used to blast tree stumps with dynamite all the time.
Oh, I never knew you had a cousin Ellsworth. Tell me more. Did I ever meet him?
No, and you never will. You see, I and Ellsworth were blasting stumps one evening, and it begun to get dark.
Yeah?
We worked later than we should have because we wanted to get finished. So I jammed a hunk of dynamite under the last stump, grabbed up my coat, gives Ellsworth a kick, and hollers, "Come on, Ellsworth!" Just goes to show how deceptive that evening light is.
Why, McGee?
I had put the dynamite under Ellsworth and hollered at the stump. We were all broken up about that. Particularly Ellsworth.
I imagine so. And that proves the dynamite is safe to handle, huh?
Not around a guy that looks like a stump, it ain't. But when you really know what...
Come in. Oh, hello, Abigail.
How do you do, Mrs. McGee? And Mr. McGee?
Hi, Uppie. Sit down and take a ton off your tibia.
Oh, thank you, no, Mr. McGee. I can't stay for just a moment.
Oh, that's too bad.
What's too bad about it? If she
McGee.
Huh? Oh. Well, how's everything in the uppy brackets, upper? I mean, the upper brackets, Uppie.
Mr. McGee, I find your vulgarities and impudence so thoroughly unamusing that I must say, frankly, I'm looking forward to your 13 weeks' absence with an ever-increasing joy and impatience.
Oh, you're sweet, Abigail. We're looking forward to it, too.
We're going to miss you just as much as you're going to miss us, Abby. You know, you ain't a bad little sister at heart.
No, really, McGee, I didn't
mean
that.
Don't be ashamed of a little honest sentiment, Abby.
What I was trying to convey to your somewhat faltering intelligence, Mr. McGee, was hardly a message of tender felicitations.
What do you mean, sis?
I was endeavoring to transmit the thought that I was happily, almost ecstatically, looking forward to your departure. Now, have I made myself clear?
Yes, you betcha. And I never heard a farewell speech worded so nice, I think. I wish you'd write that down in our guest book.
Could I write it on your shirt front with carbolic acid, Mr. McGee?
Oh, Abigail, you clown.
The old moose has really got a sense of humor, ain't she, Molly?
Well, it was awfully sweet of you to stop in and say all those nice things, Abigail, but we'll come back just as soon as we can this summer.
Oh, yes, do. I shall really miss you, my dear. But as for Mr. McGee...
I know. As for me, you can't come right out and say it on account of me being a married man. Well, so what? Molly knows you're fond of me in your odd sort of way, so who cares?
Mr. McGee, can't I make you understand just exactly what I... No, I guess I can't.
Hmm?
So goodbye, Mrs. McGee. I hope you have a splendid time this summer.
Sweet, McGee.
I never realized she cared so much about us, Molly. Why, when she went out, she was biting her lip to keep the tears back. You never can tell about people, can you?
No, now, for instance...
Hello, folks.
Hello, Mr. Wilcox. I was wondering what... Why, Meredith Wilson, how nice to see you again.
Hello, Molly. You're looking well. How are you, Fibber?
Hi, bud. What was her name again?
Meredith Wilson, Fibber.
Wilson? I don't believe... You any relation to Peggy Wilson, that band leader's wife?
Well, I'm her husband.
You are? Well, shake hands. Any husband of Peggy Wilson's is a friend of ours. What are you doing in town?
Fibber.
Huh?
Meredith Wilson is the famous conductor. He composes symphonies. He writes popular music that hits the hit parade. He originated Chiffon Swing. And he's going to do the Johnson Wax Summer Show again this year and give Billy Mills a rest.
And believe me, Billy's earned it. He's done a wonderful job for you folks.
Oh, indeed he has. And we love your music, too, Mr. Wilson.
Well, thank you, Molly. I think myself that I have a neat little combo. Hot or sweet, Chicago or Barrel House, classic or groovy, no boozers or chasers, have own tuxedos, will travel, bus or train.
Hey. I don't get it. What are you talking about, Bud?
Now, listen, Fibber, if you're pretending you don't recognize me on account of that $3 you borrowed back in 1940, you paid me that back.
I did? Mm-hmm. You mean I don't? Oh, hi, Meredith. I'm glad to see you.
Thanks. I thought you would be. I just asked Harlow to bring me by so I could wish you a pleasant vacation.
Well, thanks, Mr. Wilson. We'll be listening to you this summer from wherever we are.
Swell.
Incidentally, don't go so far away that you can't get this week's copy of Life Magazine. Comes out Friday the 26th.
Why, Harlow?
Well, it's got Fibber and Molly's picture in it.
It has?
Yes, sir.
Oh, that's great, Harlow. And any sponsor of yours is a sponsor of mine, I always say.
Are you having just a musical show this summer, Mr. Wilson?
No. We've got a wonderful new added feature this year. An old friend of mine, John Nesbitt.
John Nesbitt, the passing parade man.
Sure. You've seen his movie shorts for MGM, Molly, and heard him on the air. Say, I asked him to stop in here, but I guess he...
Oh, maybe that's him now. Come in.
Mr. and Mrs. McGee live here?
Why, hello, John.
Oh, hello, Meredith. Hello, Harlow.
Hello, John. Say, I want you to meet a couple friends of ours. Molly, John Nesbitt.
How do you do, I'm sure.
How do you do, Molly?
And this is Fibber McGee, John.
Hello, Fibber.
What was the name again, Curly?
Nesbitt. Nez is in nasturtium, and bit is in off more than you can chew.
I've seen a lot of your movies, Mr. Nesbitt, and I think they're wonderful. Say, how do you ever find all those fascinating stories?
Well, I don't know. It's kind of a hobby of mine, Molly. I go around digging up odd little facts, historical or otherwise, that I think might be overlooked in the passing parade.
Well, good for you, Curly. And now look, anytime you need any advice about... Hey, excuse me a minute. Has anybody got a toothpick? Okay. Anytime you need any advice about what's good taste on the air, Bud, just drop me a line. I'll be glad to give you the benefit of my vast experience.
Well, thanks, old man. You know, I'm really going to enjoy working this summer with Meredith and with Wilcox Harlow.
It's Harlow Wilcox, John.
Is it really? Well, I looked him up in the telephone directory and they have him down as Wilcox Harlow.
I must have been backward about paying my phone bill.
Are you going to announce the summer show? I say, are you going to announce the summer show?
Yes, sir, and it's as good as a vacation for me. We have a lot of laughs, and the studios are so air-conditioned, why, we hate to leave after the broadcast.
Yes, I tell you, they're really wonderful. But won't you boys sit down and have a cup of root beer or something?
Well, no thanks, Molly. But before I go, I wonder if you'd mind if I...
If what?
Well, I've always had a kind of a yearning to... Oh, no, it's ridiculous.
Oh, what is it, Mr. Wilson?
Well, would it be too much to... I mean, would it be an imposition if I... Well, could I please open your hall closet door just once?
My sure thing. Go ahead.
Right, help yourself, Mr. Wilson, right in there.
Yeah.
Gee, thanks. Is this the one right here?
That's it. Open her up.
Thanks. Gee, this is interesting.
The King's Men sing the blacksmith song.
The village smith, he stands by the tree. The smith, a mighty man, now is he. He's busy as a big bumblebee. Reshoeing horses for society. He swings and sings as the horses pass. He does because when he swings the anvil chorus, all the horses laugh. For just as every dog has his day, the smith is back again now to stay. The muscles in his hands are as strong as rubber.
he stood for years by the tree. But now he's helping society. His rubber went on priority. He ain't the kind of guy he used to be. He's slaves and saves all the rubber, rubber, rubber he can get. And you can too. If you'll search the whole house over, we'll get Hitler yet. So bring it to the smith by the score. But you haven't any use for anymore. Cause you'll pay a cent a pound for all rubber that's around. If you pile it on the ground by the tree. Don't recognize his friends anymore. Cause he's sprucer than he used to be before. And he's climbed, as you can guess, off the ladder of success. But he keeps the same address.
Doggone the doggone. The way this lock resists burglary, you'd think the suitcase was full of emeralds.
I think you better rest a while, dear. You're dripping wet. Can I get you a glass of something cold, iced tea or lemonade or something, maybe?
Thanks. Just makes me all hotter. Boy, this is really a scorcher today, isn't it?
Yes, and the summer's just starting.
Yeah.
I do hope we go someplace where it's cool, McGee.
Yeah, but outdoors is outdoors, Molly. You can't have fresh air and sunshine without a little...
Come in.
Hello,
McGee. How do you do, Mrs. McGee?
Fine. Warm, isn't it?
It is. I tell you, it's hotter than a St. Louis sidewalk, Mr. Mayor.
I'm so hot I could do spot welding with my bare hands. What can we do for you, Latriv?
Oh, nothing, McGee, nothing. I just heard you were starting on your vacation tomorrow and dropped in to wish you bon voyage.
Well, thanks, Mr. Mayor, and the same to you.
Oh, I'm not going anywhere, Mrs. McGee. This promises to be a very hot summer, and the city hall is air-cooled, so I think I'll just remain on the job.
You may have something there at that, Latrivia.
I know I have, McGee. You go camping or traveling and get hot and dusty. You can't take so many changes of clothing. Can't have a shower whenever you like.
McGee, don't you think it would be better if we... Oh, what am I saying? A vacation is a vacation.
Why, sure it is, Molly. It's just sour grapes with these fellows that keep yipping about the air-cooled offices and restaurants full of ice-cold watermelon and all stuff like that there. What's a vacation without a little discomfort?
Well, I'll certainly be thinking of you. Out in a fishy-smelling rowboat, under that broiling stuff, fighting off the flies and squirming under your sunburn. Well... Enjoy yourself.
You know, Molly, I've been thinking this thing over, Molly, and I wonder if we...
Yes?
Well, I mean, gee whiz, well, what with the war and all, maybe it would be better if we... What do you say we don't...
Oh, dear. This is the same feeling I had the night you started to propose to me and the hot water heater blew up. Come in.
Hello, Mrs. McGee. Hello, Mrs. McGee.
Hi, Wimple, old man. How's everything?
Oh, just fine, Mr. McGee. Except that I'm a little worn out after yesterday. My, what a strenuous day.
What happened yesterday, Mr. Wimple?
Sweetie Face and I went to a wedding.
Oh. The matrimonial monkey shines get you down, Wimp?
Oh, of course not. It wasn't the wedding so much, but Sweetie Face tied my old shoes to the back of the groom's car while I was still wearing them.
How brutal.
No, it was just thoughtlessness, Mrs. McGee.
A very harrowing experience, I should say.
Wimple, I hate to keep repeating it, but you ought to assert yourself. Speak up to Sweetie Face. Be a man. You got rights.
Yes, I know. But my rights are so much weaker than her left.
Do you know
that Sweetie Face never walks downstairs to breakfast?
What does she do, punch a hole in the floor and slide through like a fireman?
No, she leaps out the window to the limb of a tree and swings down from branch to branch, just like Tarzan.
Well, what's so funny about that?
Well, don't you tell a single solitary soul now, but this afternoon I saw the top limb of that tree almost clear through.
Oh, good heavens, she'll break her neck.
Yes. Well, have a nice vacation, folks. Goodbye.
Look, Molly, the more I think of it, the more I think we got everything in town here we'd need for a good vacation. Shows, restaurants, all the comforts of home.
Oh, I was hoping you'd say that, dearie. You know, when those boys started talking about the air-cooled NBC studios, well, I just couldn't stand it.
Yeah, they are marvelous. Say, I wonder, give me the phone.
Here.
Thanks.
Who are you calling?
You'll see. Long distance, please. Hello, operator. Give me the... Get off the line, Mert. I'll see you in September. Operator, give me the Johnson Wax Factory in Racine, Wisconsin.
What on earth are you?
Hello, is this the Johnson Wax Factory? Mr. Johnson, please. Mr. Johnson? It's River McGee speaking. Fine, how are you? Oh, that's good. Look, Mr. Johnson, me and Molly don't feel just right about leaving you in the lurch for 13 weeks, so we... Huh? Hey, yeah, but you see, Mr. Johnson, with them air-cooled studios, we wouldn't mind staying here for... Huh? Yeah, I know, Mr. Johnson, but... Well, let Wilson and Nesbitt advertise Carnu and let us handle Gloco. Or let them have the Gloco and we'll put on a show for Carnu. Yeah, but Mr. Johnson, we can't get our suitcase unlocked. Mr. Johnson!
Ladies and gentlemen, we all want to thank you for another wonderful year. And goodbye till next September.
Yes, we know you're going to enjoy the Johnson Wax Summer Show with Meredith Wilson and John Nesbitt and Harla Wilcox. And we hope that... McGee, what are you doing with my best perfume?
Spraying the audience.
Yeah, but what for?
Well, you know what George M. Cohan says. Always leave them smelling when you say goodbye.
No, no, dearie. He didn't say smelling. He said smiling.
He did? Oh, excuse me. Good night.
Good night, all.
River McGee and Molly programs are short-waved each week to our armed forces throughout the world. This is Harlow Wilcox speaking for the makers of Johnson's Wax Finishes for Home and Industry, inviting you all to be with us again next Tuesday night when we present a new and distinctive program featuring Meredith Wilson and John Nesbitt. This program has reached you from Hollywood. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
From June 23rd of 1942, it's been Fibber McGee and Molly with Packing for Vacation with a Locked Trunk. When we return, it's excitement and adventure with Gangbusters and the case of the kidnapped postmaster as this edition of Yesteryear continues.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear. Here's Craig Roberts.
Gangbusters grew out of an earlier show called G-Men, which was first broadcast on NBC for Chevrolet in July of 1935. The best remembered of all police programs, it came out in the summer of 35 when Phillips H. Lord talked NBC into developing what he called a thoroughly authoritative pilot series about the government's war against crime. He sold the idea to Chevrolet, then flew to Washington, D.C. to gather the official blessings of J. Edgar Hoover. Hoover agreed to let Lord use FBI files on closed cases, providing the Bureau could review the scripts. The clues element became one of the most successful aspects of the show. After each broadcast, nationwide alarms were broadcast for actual criminals wanted by police or FBI agents. Fine details of the criminal's appearance, with special emphasis on such things as scars and distinguishing marks, helped capture 110 wanted men in the first 3 years of the show. In 1948, the program switched to CBS for General Foods, which carried it Saturdays until 1953, then sustained until 1955. Gangbusters was last heard on Mutual in the 1955 through 57 season. Return with us now to those exciting days of yesteryear with Gangbusters and the case of the kidnapped paymaster, another classic program from the radio archives of yesteryear.
And now, Gangbusters! Gangbusters, presented in cooperation with police and federal law enforcement departments throughout the United States. The only national program that brings you authentic police case histories.
to gangbusters and facts that show the operation of our law enforcement officials in their war against the underworld. Gangbusters has asked the Honorable Saul S. Sherrison, Assistant United States Attorney for the Southern District of New York, to narrate tonight's case.
The inside facts in the case of the kidnapped paymaster.
Mr. Sherrison, before you begin, I think the gangbusters audience would like to know that you brought to the studio a man who played a very important part in tonight's case.
That's right, Don Gardner. He's right over there, and we'll hear from him later. Right now, I think we ought to get on with the report.
All right, Mr. Sherrison. The main events in this case occurred right here in New York City. Isn't that right?
In the section of New York City known as the Bronx. Almost a year ago, Don, on a Saturday afternoon, the stores in the Fordham Road District were crowded with shoppers. At one particular shoe store, a young woman customer was trying to get fitted while her companion sat next to her. The trouble clerk was on his way with still another pair of shoes to show his hard-to-please customer.
Just look what he's bringing over this time.
For crying out loud, Terry, you're going to buy a pair of shoes, or aren't you?
If I see something that's chic, yeah.
Here, madam, is a style that's very smart.
Pumps, I asked you for. Do these look like pumps?
Well, as I told you, madam, pumps have gone out. They're not wearing pumps this year.
If the lady wants pumps, get her pumps.
Yeah, get me pumps.
I'll take one more look. Excuse me, please. I'll be right back.
How do you like the nerve of him, huh?
You're not exactly the easiest one in the world to please.
If I want pumps, Mac, I want pumps. That's the price you've got to pay for keeping me slaving away in that shop.
Look, Terry, I don't want to hear no more about it. You stay on the job there until the time is right.
And when's the time going to be right? Meanwhile, I'm breaking my back running a drill press at $40 a week. Who needs it?
You'll keep running that drill press until I'm set. Need another guy or two.
Who are you looking for, Dillinger?
Shut up.
Ain't 4 months long enough to find somebody?
I wish you'd get your shoes and get out of here.
Well, let me take my time, Mac. I'm the one that's got to wear them, and I... Oh. Well, how do you like that?
What?
Here comes that Charlie McCarthy of yours.
Bud, where?
He's coming. He'll find you in Times Square on New Year's Eve.
Hiya, Terry. Mac. I said you went shopping.
You come to carry the bundles?
What do you want, bud? I had to see you, boss. I'm in a little jam.
A cop or a dame?
Lay off, will you, Terry?
What kind of a jam?
Where's that monkey with the pumps?
I need about $300 quick. $300? Well, $280 to be exact.
Must be a dame.
You're crying out loud, why? I owe it to a guy. Stall him. You can give him to him after we pull off the big deal. Mac, I gotta pay him off tonight. If I don't pay him, I get my head beat in.
Who's got this dough coming anyway?
Johnny J.
Johnny J?
Yeah. Don't you have no more sense than to borrow dough from a rotten loan shark? I needed it.
The horses out at Belmont were hungry.
So what?
How much did you borrow?
$2.
What's the 80 for?
That's interest. Interest? Only 5% a week.
Hey, you idiot. Where do you have to meet that cigar-smoking chiseler?
Oh, at some bar. Tonight.
Okay, he'll be met by the two of us.
Where's that guy with my pumps?
You don't need any shoes. Let's get out of here.
Hey, wait a
minute. Come on, let's get out of this joint before I run you out on your bare feet.
Okay, but why get sore at me? I didn't borrow no dough from Johnny J.
Let's go. Wait, Seth, let's go.
I'm coming. Don't rush me.
Hello, Johnny. I was up at the bar.
Told you this booth. Sit down. Got a match?
Yeah, someplace. Yeah.
Thanks. Well, give my dough, I'll buy you a drink.
Look, Johnny, I haven't got it. That's what I want.
I wanted to get paid, you rotten welcher.
Wait a minute, Johnny.
Wait, nothing. Told you what had happened. Ever see a guy get his face burnt with a lit cigar?
He'll get your dough.
I bet, and tonight.
There's a guy here.
Has he got the dough?
Yeah, he's got it.
Oh, when you say so. Let's go get him.
We don't have to. Here he comes.
Hello, Johnny.
How long's it been? This the guy?
That's him. Sit down, Mac.
Why you come taking care of the kids' troubles, McIntyre?
I look after my boys. Okay, Bud Scram.
Hey, wait a minute. If I don't get my dough, I want his hide.
Get out of here, Bud. Go on.
Yeah, so long. I'll be safe.
Hey, wait a minute. Come here.
Sit still, Johnny. He only listens to me.
You got a lot of nerve, Mac.
One more thing, Johnny. You can stay, but that cigar's got to go.
Oh, yeah? Give me a match.
I said put the cigar away or I'll shove it down your throat.
Well, as long as you ain't got no match.
How much did the kid take from you?
Comes to $280.
I didn't ask what it comes to. What did he take?
Took 200, but I'm entitled to my interest.
Here's your 200.
Now, look, Mac, I'm in business. I gotta...
You've got to nothing. You don't want the 200, give it back.
20, 40...
It's all there, Johnny. Put it in your pocket.
Yeah, I guess it is. What do you have to drink?
Nothing. I'll see you again sometime.
Hey, Mac.
What?
Don't get the wrong idea about me. I'm still as tough as I used to be.
Be as tough as you like.
I'm a 3-time loser, Mac. Once more, they put me away for good. I don't want that. But remember, I can only be pushed so far.
Johnny, have you got any idea why I laid out 2 bills to get this bud out of soak?
Didn't think it was out of the goodness of your heart.
He's got a trick, Johnny. You can take the door lock right off a car without leaving a scratch.
So, what do you want me to give him, a medal?
We take it to a guy, and an hour later, we got a key that fits the ignition and the door.
Sweet. Awful sweet.
But it takes too many cars to build up a nice score. I want it quicker. And I'm going to get it quicker.
Huh?
Johnny, I got a deal in the works that I'll have to have a bushel basket to carry away the dough.
Yeah, they'll throw the book at me this time, Mac. Told you I was a 3-time loser. I'm not interested in anything except staying out in the street.
This'll be as soft as frozen custard.
Worth it?
Can you count up to 100,000?
I tried hard enough.
Want to hear about it?
Can't put me back in for listening.
This is a big foundry over in Jersey. I planted my girl in there. The payroll runs 50 to 100 grand every week. They pay off in cash.
Payroll's got guards, Mac. They got a yard of more guards they got.
Look, I've had my girl in that shop for 4 months. I know that place inside and out. Thursday nights, the payroll lays in the safe with nobody around but an old creepy watchman.
What about the safe? I don't think that'd be so creepy.
That's where the gimmick comes in. The paymaster lives right here in the Bronx. We grab him at his house, take him back to Jersey. He opens up the safe. That's all there is to it.
It's going to take a lot of doing.
For a lot of dough, I can stand a lot of doing.
Okay, Mac, figure me in it.
Didn't you ask me for a match before?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Go ahead. Light up that big black cigar. I love him.
Thanks.
Hey, waiter. Waiter, another round of drinks here. Make it snappy.
So, Don, the criminal David McIntyre had completed his organization, which he intended to use in robbing the payroll. He had everything worked out nicely, except a few details, like a set of stolen tires and an unexpected doorbell. It was such clues as these that set the Federal Bureau of Investigation on the right trail. In the meantime, the Federal Bureau of Investigation was looking into the interstate car thefts in which McIntyre and young Bud Aldridge were previously involved. These cars were being stolen in Bronx and Westchester counties, New York, then taken to Connecticut and New Jersey, where the accessories were stripped and sold. Special agents Haynes and Martin were at the New York field office discussing the case.
Well, Haynes, looks like those car thieves are going to be harder to catch than ever now. They just quit. At least while they were operating, we had a chance to get them with the goods.
I don't know. I don't think they have pulled out of it permanently, Martin. Maybe they got something else to do for a few days. Maybe they took a vacation.
They've sure been doing well enough to take a vacation. You'd think after all this time we'd at least be able to get a line on them.
We'll get our line on them. All we have to do is keep checking those junk shops and secondhand parts places. We'll find where they're selling the stuff. That's all the line we need.
Well, I'd better get going.
Jersey City?
Yeah. I'm going to do a little hunting. Maybe I can turn up something over there.
He's going to pull into that parking space down the block, Mac.
Okay, double park right here. Keep your lights on.
Yeah, Mac, sure.
All set, Johnny?
You kidding? Let's go.
When you see his car pull out, Bud, get right behind us and stay there.
I know.
Come on.
Right with you.
On the sidewalk, let's go.
Good break. Nobody's out tonight.
Let's do it fast and quiet.
Never seen a faster guy.
Here he comes, on your toes, huh?
Step here.
Pardon me, mister.
Yes?
Got a match?
Yes, I think so.
Those cigars of his keep going out. He runs himself and everybody else out of matches.
Well, some cigars are like that.
Keep your hands at your sides and don't move.
Hey.
I'll walk back to your car.
Listen, here
you... Walk, he said.
Okay, okay, but be careful with that gun.
Reach in your pocket and give me the keys to your car.
All right. Well, what do you want from me? I don't carry much money.
Just give me the car keys.
Yeah. Here they are.
Here you are, pal. Open up. Get in, Siegel.
Get... Where are you taking me?
What do you think? Get in.
Oh, please.
Go on, get in. In back, in back.
Okay, in back.
Climb in back with him, pal. All right.
I don't understand all this. What do you want from me?
Explain it to him, pal. You're going back to your office. You're going to open that safe and you're going to hand over tomorrow's payroll, just like that.
But I don't know the combination.
Now tell me what you know.
But I don't, honest.
Kid's right behind us, boss.
Okay.
I told you I don't know the combination.
Listen, friend. See this cigar? Now how it gets when it's lit? I don't know how many thousands of degrees hot.
Please let me out.
Anyway, it gets awful hot. You open that safe or you got the end of the cigar right in your eye.
Let me out. I want to get out, please.
Shut him up.
I can't open the safe.
Shut up.
I can't.
Okay, wise guy. Stay shut.
I'll knock him out, not yet. I want him sitting up when we cross the bridge.
Okay, okay.
No sense getting those cops at the toll gate suspicious. Keep him up and keep him quiet. We'll get my treatment later if we have to.
The two criminals and their victim, Mr. Julius Siegel, drove towards the George Washington toll bridge, across the Hudson River in Siegel's car, with the third criminal, Bud Aldridge, following in their own car. Within a few minutes, they were on the approaches to the bridge and nearing the toll gate.
All right, Siegel, sit up straight.
I will, but don't hit me again.
We're going to stop at that toll gate. We're going to pay the guy, and you're going to keep your mouth shut. You got it?
Don't worry, I won't say anything.
You better not if you don't want the cigar. Remember.
On your toes, pal, the toll gate. Here, 50 cents, right?
50 cents.
Hey, the motor died.
I know it. She won't kick over.
The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with yesteryear.
You got trouble?
Yeah, officer, she won't kick over.
Maybe you're out of gas.
No, there's plenty of gas, officer. It'll be all right.
You'll have to get it out of here. Those cars want to get through.
I'll give it another try.
She's catching. Feed it gas. Let's go. I would have figured one like that.
Well, there's a trick to starting it sometimes.
Who asked you? Take it easy with him. He's got to open that safe.
Okay. I'm only playing.
The kid's still behind me?
Yeah, he's following us. Don't worry, go ahead. Get that a plan. I want to see what a payroll looks like.
Special Agent Haynes.
This is Martin. I'm glad I caught you at the office.
Yes, I had to finish up something. What's up, Martin?
I found a fence over here in Jersey City, Haynes. I think he's the one who's been buying the accessories of those stolen Bronx and Westchester cars.
Oh? Uh-huh. What does he have to say?
Nothing, that's the point. We found two radios and three sets of tires. He says he bought them in good faith. Says he doesn't know the fellows who sold them.
Well, what's the name of this fence?
Denver. Joe Denver. He's got a long record for receiving, never a conviction.
All right. How about bring him into New York? I'd like to talk to him.
Right. We'll be there in an hour. Oh, and say, Haynes, will you call up my wife? Tell her I won't be home tonight.
But I'm telling you, I don't know the combination.
Did you hear him, boss? He says he don't know the combination.
I heard him.
We know different. We know you open that safe every morning and close it every night.
That's not true, honest, it isn't.
It ain't true, huh? Hey, boss, give me a match.
Why don't you carry your own matches? I'm driving. Catch.
Thanks.
Make it snappy. The plant's in the next block.
What are you going to do?
Hey, I'm going to light my cigar, that's all. Just light my cigar. Good cigar, ain't it?
I wouldn't know.
Told you how hot they get. Now you gonna open that safe? You wouldn't like it in the eye, would you?
Okay. I'll open the safe.
Now you're acting smart. What do you care? It's not your dough, wise guy.
Okay, hold on. We're turning in.
There's a kid right behind us.
Good.
Sit up, Siegel. Like we tell you, you won't get hurt. Bad.
All right. I'll do anything.
Come on, let's go.
Okay, Siegel. Move.
Go on, get out.
All right, I'm going.
Here's the kid. All right, Siegel. Walk right up to the office door, just like you worked here. Which he does, which he does. Get going.
You were gone as on the bridge.
Shut up and do your job.
All right, I'll get excited.
Here's your keys, Siegel. We'll open up the front door.
But
what? Move.
Go on, move.
You're going to open up that front door to the office and walk right to the safe, understand?
But if I open the door, the burglar alarm will ring.
What's this, another store like the combination?
No, I'm telling the truth. The burglar alarm will ring.
You're lying, Siegel. There's no alarm in that door, I know.
Listen, you think we ought to take the chance?
There's no alarm in that door. He just wants to wise up the watchman. Let me tell you something, Siegel. I know this place inside and out. I know how we'll handle that watchman once we're inside. Now, open up the door.
But look.
A cigar, a cigar.
Okay.
Quick now.
Holy, the joint's fucked. He was right. Get him in the car, fast. Come on, get to the car. Get to the car.
All right, I'm going. You're going to let me out here? Are you, please?
Yes, Siegel, we're going to let you out.
See what he's got on him. You ought to get something out of this job.
I'll still there, you.
All right, I don't have much.
It's his wallet.
What's in it?
Six bucks. Yeah. All this trouble for $6. $6. Okay, he's out. Take your gun and shoot him once through the head.
Shoot him?
I was looking for the chair.
How can they tag us for it if he's dead?
I'll tell you how. There's some people with big mouths, that's how.
Who are you talking about?
Not you. Who can tell about the kid or even the dame?
Yeah, who can tell? All right, just work him over good. I want a head start in the cops.
I'll work him over good. Don't worry. Ever see a guy get pistol whipped? Gun's good for more than one thing. Dirty rotten. He won't wake up for a week.
I just sent Joe Denver back to the detention cell, Haynes. We'll file charges in the morning, huh?
First thing. You know, Martin, I never seen it fail. When these guys think you got something on them, they'll sing their heads off looking for a break. What a business.
It's not such a bad business. Joe Denver sings, we clear up a string of auto thefts.
Not so fast. We still got to pick up McIntyre and this young sidekick of his.
Well, the information says they're probably still living at that address in the Bronx and running with this Johnny J. They oughtn't to be so hard to trace from there.
We'll see about that. Excuse me.
Sure.
Hello, Special Agent Haynes.
Haynes, this Crawford over at the Richfield, New Jersey police.
Oh, yes, Crawford. How are you?
We've got the victim of a robbery up here.
Oh? Uh-huh.
They held him up in front of his home in the Bronx and brought him over here to Jersey to open up the safe.
That's kidnapping.
Yeah, they carried him over the state line. That makes it your beef, doesn't it?
It sure does. The Lindbergh Law. What have you got to go on, Crawford?
Well, the victim, Siegel, got the license number of their car, but that's not going to be much help. It was stolen last week in Westchester County.
Westchester, wow.
Tie in with anything?
It could. We're working on a Westchester case right now. Stolen cars. Where is this victim?
He's still here at our station. Doctor says he can go home after he rests up a bit.
Well, keep him there a while. We'll be right over.
Okay, I'll be looking for you. So long.
What is it, Haynes?
Come on, Martin. We're going over to Jersey. I'll tell you all about it on the way.
I'm ready.
Oh, you don't happen to have a picture of McIntyre on you, do you?
Yes, I do.
Good. Let's go.
Six lousy bucks. I spent 4 months slaving at that drill press for six rotten bucks.
I'm sick of hearing about it, Terry. If you found out about that burglar alarm, everything would have been fine. Just shut that big yap of yours.
What am I supposed to know about burglar alarms? And watch out what you're calling a big yap.
Bud.
Oh, kid brains himself.
Come on in, Bud. Gotta pick up them cars, and then we better be moving, Mac. It's a long drive.
I see the small-time stuff's good enough for you now. Gas mate was always good enough.
You're looking for a crack on the head, Terry.
Yeah, from who?
Let's go, Bud.
Sure, it'll be ready in an hour.
If you think I'm going back to work on that drill press, you've got another thing coming.
Who's asking you to go back? Do what you like.
$6. $6 lousy bucks.
Come here, Terry.
Why?
Come here, I said. I want to kiss you goodbye.
No, stop it.
Now get your dust pack and get out of here. Come on, buddy.
Cheer up, will you, Mac?
Ah, let me alone, will you?
All right, so we got a bad break. It didn't work out right. Now, we know we should stick to this hot car, right?
Listen, bud, I'll tell you what to stick to. Just watch where you're driving. You got a red light.
I see it. We got a good thing. There's a million dames like Terry. A million.
For crying in a sewer.
Shut up. All right, I just... Look at that car. That crazy driver's gonna clip us.
That driver's the kind of...
Mac.
What?
Maybe it's cops.
Cops, what cops? Come on, let's give them a piece of our mind.
All right, if you say so.
What's the matter? Don't you guys know how to drive?
All right, get him up, you two.
FBI.
Not me, you know.
You better just keeping your hands up.
What's the idea? We ain't done nothing.
We've got a warrant charging you with kidnapping.
Kidnapping?
Yes, you should always stop to think at a state line. Come on. Your friend Johnny J's been keeping a cell warm for you. He wants company.
Okay, I'm going. You don't have to push.
That, Don, was how the arrest was made. David McIntyre and Johnny J were sentenced to 20 years each, and Bud Aldridge was given 6 years. They are now serving their terms at various federal penitentiaries for abducting Mr. Julius Siegel and carrying him across a state line.
Well, Mr. Siegel certainly had a rough time of it.
You know, Don, that for every crime, there must be a victim as well as a criminal. And I brought Mr. Siegel to the studio tonight.
Well, so I see, Mr. Charrison.
He had an experience that any one of us may be called on to face any day.
We're glad to have you on Gangbusters, Mr. Siegel.
I'm glad to be here, Don, but I must say that in all my years of listening to Gangbusters, I never dreamed that one day I'd be part of your program.
And a very important part, too. I suppose that all of us think of crimes like kidnapping in terms of someone else. It must have been some sensation when you realized that this time you were the victim.
Well, Don, from the first I knew those boys meant business. But it wasn't until they were ready to leave me on, to leave me later on, that I started saying my final prayers.
Well, just what happened?
Well, when they got ready to go, one yelled to the other, kill him and dump him. But then he came back to me and said, we decided not to kill you. We're going to knock you out.
That's when they really gave you a going over?
That's right, Don. But to tell you the truth, the beating wasn't nearly as bad as the mental torture. At first, I thought it was just another stick-up. But when my face hit the floor of the car, well, it seemed as though a million things flashed through my mind.
Well, just what kind of things do you mean?
Well, maybe these thugs had gotten to my wife and children. Also, even if they hadn't, I thought I'd never live to see them again. And then there was that one voice that kept yelling, if he opens his mouth, kill him. I can still hear it to this day.
Well, that certainly must have been a grueling experience.
Believe me, Don, it was. All I can say is, it's great to be alive.
Well, thank you, Mr. Julius Siegel. And you, Mr. Saul S. Sharrison, for coming here tonight and being our guests on Gangbusters.
And Gangbusters' congratulations to all the law enforcement officers who participated in the investigation leading to the conclusion of this case. Tonight's case was dramatized by Stanley Niss and directed by William Sweets, with Ken Lynch and Charlotte Lawrence in leading roles. Don Gardner speaking. Gangbusters is a Phillips H. Lord production.
There's Gangbusters with the case of the kidnapped paymaster. Well, I'm afraid we're out of time for this edition of Yesteryear, but be with us again next week and invite a friend to listen and together enjoy more great moments from the golden age of radio. I'm Craig Roberts with those fabulous days of yesteryear. Till next time, so long.
Radio, remember radio. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. A comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite show.
Preceding program, copyright Edgewater Productions, all rights reserved. ¶¶
KSSR-DB San Francisco, where the big bands swing. Listening to your favorite big bands. Places like Glen Island Casino, the Coconut Grove. Relive the music and the memories. All your favorite bands from all the most exciting night spots. Coming up on Make Believe Ballroom, a part of Swing Street Radio with Craig Roberts.
Each week at this time, we present live recorded music from famous ballrooms and night spots from across the nation. In radio's early days, most of the music enjoyed by listeners came from live performances via remote. Places like the Aragon Ballroom in Chicago, the Palomar in Los Angeles, and the Palladium in New York were just a few of the locations where radio brought its microphones in order to bring fine listening and dancing music to the nation. On this edition of Swing Street Ballroom, we present a sample of just such a live broadcast. As the network announcers used to say, the nation's leading dance bands from the nation's leading dance spots. So, time now to move the furniture out of the way, roll back the carpet, and get ready to dance. It's the Swing Street Ballroom.
It's make-believe ballroom time.